And we come and say thank you. Thank you for life, health, and strength. And thank you for allowing us the opportunity to see this bright, new, and wonderful day. It was unused until you allowed us to see it. And for that, we said thank you. Thank you for just being God. Thank you for watching over us while we were physically apart from one another and bringing us together again in the house of prayer. We thank you for that. Bless us now as we speak your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. Our subject today, the ones who answers prayer. We got 4 points and a closing and an introduction. 4 points. Prayer is not answered because we prayed. It is answered because of the one to whom we prayed, commissioned, and answered. When God appeared on Mount Sinai to the children of Israel, and they were awed to the point of terror, at God's command, Moses went up the mountain to receive the commandments from God. None of us can imagine how overwhelmed this was to hear the voice of God. Moses had the opportunity to hear the voice of God. But because Moses had heard the voice of God before, he was not all that spellbound. Why are you saying that? Because if you talk to him and he knows you and you know him, everything will be all right. And you probably haven't received one lately because you probably got the block on your phone where you receive all these calls from these people that you don't know. If you got call ID, you look at it and you don't answer. I wonder sometimes if God got call ID and he looks at the call that comes in and he does not, help me, Holy Ghost, and he does not recognize the name, I wonder. Because all of us at some time or other have been the voice that he would not have recognized. With some people, you don't even need caller ID. When you say hello, if they say hello, you know who it is. All right. That's the way it ought to be with us talking to God. He ought to know who you are. Why, I heard you when you asked. He ought to know because you profess to be a child of God. If you are his child, he needs to know the sound of your voice without you telling him your name. If you got to identify yourself when you call, you better check it. Yeah. You just might not be. I can't answer that for you. I can't answer it. I know you're in church. But are you his child? Do you talk to him enough for him to recognize your voice? And some of us got it down so pat that we can just tell, we got our phones fixed so when it rang, nobody else rang answers like they rang. Yeah, it ought to be that way with God too. You ought to have that God knows it. Well, that's, and call your name. Because you call him so much and you got a special personal ring. And you do know that you do have that with God. You know, man, AT&T and Sprint and all them didn't just come up with that by themselves.
God had that a long time ago. Moses had the experience, it says in Exodus 33 and 6, talking to God face to face as friends talk to one another. We're talking about the one who answers prayer. God did not treat Moses as a servant or even as a prophet. He treated him as a friend. God communicated with Moses just like we communicate with our friends. God's conversation with Moses during these times developed into an abiding and an intimate relationship with one another. You have to have that intimate relationship with God. If you want answers to your prayers, you have to have that. In getting prayers answered, there are four personalities that are involved, and each one of these personalities will be one of your points. We're going to start at number four and work back up to number one. And this is just the way I do it. I don't know how you would do it. The less conspicuous being involved in answering prayer are angels. Angels are often called the activators of answered prayer. Again and again in the Bible, it shows angels as agents of God who mobilizes God's will. In the Gospel of St. Luke, we find angels busy in chapter 1, verses 5 through 22, but I'm going to read you verses 10, 11, and 12. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto, this is Zacharias, who's to him, unto Zachariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zachariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Activators, getting things started. This angel appeared to him to let him know that you've been praying, and God heard your prayer. And God dispatched an angel and sent him down to where the man of God was working in the temple, going in with the people outside, just waiting to hear what God said. And you do know, and I know you know this, y'all know your Bible scholars, they took a bell and they put a bell on their robes. And when the priest went in, they had a rope tied around him. So if they stopped hearing the jingling of the bell, God had killed him. And Zacharias was in there, and they heard him in there. But then Zacharias saw something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in here one day, and I forgot who it was, Brother Earl or somebody come in here, and they didn't know I was in here. And they looked, and they saw me. Uh-huh. They didn't run out, but they sure wanted to. Because they didn't realize I was in it. That's the way it is when God appears to you. Zachariah, he had been doing this before, but he hadn't seen an angel. But this time God dispatched an angel, because I can just imagine Zachariah in his earlier years had been praying to God, "God, I don't have an heir. Well, what you gonna, God, give me an heir." And he kept praying and talking to God, and God answered. So, brothers and sisters, what I'm telling you is if you're praying to God and you are his child, don't stop praying. Amen. Don't give up hope. Hold on to it, because God will answer his children. Because Zacharias had been praying, and God dispatched an angel. That's not the only time he dispatched an angel. He dispatched an angel before Jesus came. But the angel came to take the message of God, because people had been praying. They had been praying for Jesus to come ever since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 or 16, for him to come. And God dispatched an angel to a young lady in Bethlehem to tell her that she was going to conceive and bring forth a child. We're talking about angels. God uses them. Messengers of God. Activators. Get things started. That's the way yeast is in bread. It activates. It makes the dough rise. So we need to become activators. We need to tell people about what thus saith the Lord. Answered prayer. When you want your prayers answered, stay faithful to God, and God will provide just what you need. Activators, angels. The next conspicuous person who has an active part in answering prayer is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is called an implementer. He implements the Father's will. The Holy Spirit is mentioned over 100 times in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there are some 216 passages that refers to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the non-person in the activities. Dr. King, speaking at a church dedication service in Mansfield, Ohio, if I'm not mistaken, in 1964. During his sermon, Dr. King made a remarkable statement. He said that the American Negro suffered many injustices of his white countrymen. He has been belittled, held down, threatened, beaten, and even lynched. But perhaps the cruelest of all, is that he had been ignored. That is, he had been treated as a non-person. You're not even a human being. Just treat you any kind of way. Sometimes that's the way we do the Holy Spirit. We treat him as if he does not even exist. Listen to Jesus in John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. He said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you, implementing the program that God have set up for us to do. The Spirit of truth will lead you and guide you. This is why sometimes you don't understand why you do what you do, but you just do it because you've been in the Word, and you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, but you're doing it because the Holy Spirit have implemented it down on the inside of you. If you listen to God and you stay in His Word, God will provide and will answer your prayer. The Holy Spirit puts it down on the inside of you, and then you got to implement what thus saith the Lord. That's why this morning, Deacon Brunson, you had to come back and finish singing that song. The Holy Spirit had put it down on the inside of you, and it had implemented, meaning it got it started, and you got to finish it. The good thing I love about God and the Holy Spirit, he said he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He said the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind those things that I have taught you, and then it will come back. That's why sometime when you're sitting and you're listening to messages or you're listening to songs, something will happen and you will remember reading it or studying it in the Word of God. That's the Holy Spirit bringing it to your mind. That's why sometime you can't treat people like they want you to treat them. You have to treat them better than they expect you to treat them, because the Holy Spirit won't allow you to treat them like they're acting. You have to treat them better, because God won't allow you to embarrass him or the Holy Spirit. You got to stay there. If you want your prayers answered, you got to stay there. He said, tarry, go there and wait. You remember the season we're in now, the Easter season. Jesus told the disciples, said, go there and tarry until the Holy Ghost come. When the Holy Spirit come, he'll bring you into all truths. And you remember it in Acts, don't you? When they were in the upper room praying, it said the Holy Spirit came, and it's as a mighty rushing wind. It filled the house, and it came upon them. And those men that did not know what they were doing knew they heard something different and something strange. But the Holy Ghost had worked on some people in the upper room, and I'm looking at some people that the Holy Spirit have worked on, and some of us don't want nobody else to know the work that he's done already in your body. But I'm just telling you, I'm going to hold on, and I'm going to wait, because God going to bless me to see some of the rest of you that he's already worked in. He done fixed you already. I know this might not be grammatically correct, but he done already fixed you. All you got to do is just let the implementation of what the Holy Spirit have done down on the inside of you. You will remember what he had you to do. You know a lot more about God than you're willing to know, and God have done a whole lot more for you than you're willing to admit. Oh, but after a while, by and by, you will tell everybody what God have done, because the Holy Spirit will quicken that spirit down on the inside of you, and you will say, I just got to tell it. I didn't want to tell it, but I got to tell it, because God have been good to me. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Well, I got to move, because it's there. And we need to understand that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he said, I'll leave a comforter with you, and he will lead you and guide you into all truths. This is why Peter and them didn't have to remember or have recorded everything that Jesus said, because he told them, I'm going to leave a comforter with you. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. I don't see one now, but listen. A comforter is something that you take and you put on you that helps you get a feel a little bit better than you were feeling before. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's a comforter, and you put it on, and it helps you get through stuff that you didn't think you could get through. It helps you to make it when you didn't know how you were going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill, but Holy Spirit, help me. But you keep doing your part, and God will. Listen. He didn't say, I'm going to take this back with me. He said, I'm going to leave it with you. And you do know that they got a big word. What's that? Omnipresent. Meaning wherever a child of God goes, he's right. If you want the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart, you got to take him. Yeah. If there's not enough Holy Spirit on your job, you got to take him. What's that song? Need just a little more Jesus? You may just need just a little more Holy Ghost where you are working, and you need to take it there. Point number three. No, y'all miss the Holy Spirit. Y'all missed the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was number two. The Holy Spirit was number two. The angels was number one. I can't count to six. Four. The Holy Spirit's number two. Are we together? All right. I gotta go back and I guess I maybe need to start copying my notes, but y'all can't read my writing. Then the second most prominent person involved in answered prayer is Jesus. And he is called the intercessor. And we have a misconception about intercessors. We think all intercessors do is pray. Mm-mm. Sometimes you got to do more than that. Sometimes Jesus is there with God in our behalf. He represents me to God. He tells God about how I am. Amen. And then he turns right around and tells me how God is. He intercedes for me to God and intercedes for God to me. That's how we can get to him. See, because God, it says somewhere that he is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I've never seen him, but I've seen him. I've seen him when he came into my life. I saw him when he came. How I know he came? Because he changed me. I couldn't do like I used to do. I couldn't go where I used to go. Oh, I could physically go. I said this, I've done this before, and that's one thing I miss about being over there on the other side. I could walk right here and I'd be to the wall, but I can't walk right here and be to the wall over here. But do you remember? I know y'all probably not old. When right after you got saved, somebody invited you to go to a ball, and you didn't want to go, but you went anyhow. After you got there, you used to walk in. When you walked in, you had your swagger, you know. You could do it, you know. But now, when you walk in now, you don't have the swagger no more. You just walk in. And you try to do the same things you used to do. I don't remember Brother Joe or none of the other guys, but I remember me. I was not a great dancer. So what I did a lot, I hung to the wall a lot. I could lean on a wall. I could lean on a wall like I knew what I was doing. But I tried leaning on the wall. I couldn't even lean on the wall like I used to lean on the wall. Because there was something that had happened on the inside of me, and I couldn't do. The old man was not there. That's when Jesus have been there and he have interceded for me and he has changed me because he came into my life. Don't think that all Jesus is doing up in heaven is sitting there praying for you. He is praying for you. But he's interceding in other areas of your life that you might not want anybody else to know. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, anything, I will do it. See, so what he's praying to, but he's also doing some things for you. God, I sure do need this job. I don't need the other one that I thought I needed, but this is the one I needed, God. I need this one because there are more benefits in it for my family. I might not make as much money, God, but I need this job because there are more benefits that will last longer, and this job seems to have more longevity to it. Help me. And then all of a sudden, the door opens. And listen to me, please, ma'am, and please, sir. Don't expect God to be instant with you. You know, I talk about old time and making coffee when you didn't have the microwaves and you could put eight ounces of water in a cup and boil it for 2.5, turn the microwave on for 2.5 minutes and the water would boil. I'm talking about that kind when you had to get the pot and put the cold water in the pot and set it on a wood stove and let it perk. You let it cook so long, boil so long till it perk. And now they got electric coffee makers that'll do it the same way. You can put and it'll perk it. But it'll take it just a little bit longer. See, so don't expect God to be instant with you. Not that he can't.
But he might not be that way all the time. It didn't take him long to open up the Red Sea. He just opened it because he's God. And said, stood up, made walls. He's God. He controls it all. So when Jesus intercedes for us, he's doing something other than just praying for you. He's interceding in those things that you need in your life. You driving down the road? Uh-huh. He intercedes there as well. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because you are his. And if you ask him and you believing in him, you are expecting him now. And if you don't want it, don't pray it. If your husband or your wife, if they are contrary, not serving God, and you praying for them to be saved, you might better be careful. You might not want them saved. They might show you that you're not saved. You just think you are. So we need to know that God intercedes for Jesus intercedes for us because he said, I'll go away. If I go away, I'll prepare a place for you that you'll be able to come and be with me. Wherever Jesus is, he wants us to be there. He is our intercessor. He is interceding for us every day of our life. This is why things are no worse than they are in your life. Just because you're saved, it doesn't mean that trouble or sickness or death won't come your way. But because you are walking with Jesus, things will be a whole lot better. Some of us are old enough to remember that stuff called, we used to call